Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. Open minds on cosmic lines. To call in to future episodes, the number is 1-833-703-0424. The show is recorded live the second and fourth Sunday of every month. Please subscribe to Alien Theorists Theorizing on YouTube to watch it live, or patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast to watch on demand. The cosmic channels are open. The Cosmic Channel is today. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan. Terrible twosome.
Cut the dead weight as usual.
We cut the fat.
Trim the fat. Straight mean, cosmic channeling tonight.
Mean channeling machines.
All right. And I believe just like that, we have our first caller. Let's bring him on the line. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey there. It is Henry calling from Northern California.
Henry, we recognize this name, Henry.
Welcome back, Henry.
Welcome back to the show.
Nice to be back.
What do you got for us tonight?
Terrible twosome. Well, I've got a story that happened about a month and a half ago, and it was out on my family's property, which is like probably about an hour east of the closest, you know, like major city. And by major, I mean, it's still pretty damn small. It's like 5,000-10,000 people. So I was out there and on the property working on my little tiny house, and it was just becoming twilight. And my tiny house is like right on the property line, and our neighbors have about 3,000 acres, and they do cattle and logging. But the corner that I'm closest to on their property, they're never near it. Like the closest stuff they have is like a mile and a half, 2 miles into their property. And the road going from our property into theirs, which is right at the property line right near me, is, you know, completely overgrown. So nobody ever comes that way. Right. You know, they might check the property line, the fence and whatnot for a little bit every few years. So I was outside working, and I start hearing this like a mechanical, you know, like a beeping noise. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm looking around trying to figure out what direction it's coming from, and it is super clear, and it's straight towards my neighbor's property, like part of the property, which is west from where I am at that point. And I swear to God, it sounds exactly like, you know, how they always portray sonar beeps sounding
beep.
In movies.
Beep.
Yeah, and it's super, yeah, it's completely like on key and like very consistent beeps. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, that's kind of close. Like, that's way too close for it to be a skidder, you know, some logging operation. Because you'll hear those all the time when they're running machinery. You'll hear the big beeps out in the distance. But this, you know, I've heard skidders before. It wasn't a skidder. And it was only, you know, a couple hundred meters off. And it was like, it spooked me enough that I called my neighbor, like, on the spot. I was like, hey, do you have anybody like logging right now? Are you doing any logging work? And she was pretty adamant that no one is even remotely close to that corner of the property. And she was concerned enough that she actually came down with a few people the next day and was like completely running through that entire part of their property, because I was able to record it and I was like, what is this? And I spent probably 2 hours trying to figure out what it was, looking up bird calls. I couldn't find a bird call that matched it. So if anybody has any idea or has heard something similar, let me know. But it was like dead on sonar beeping sounds, and it stopped after about 5 minutes.
Like, was it steady, like intervals? Didn't seem to get faster or slow down?
Completely consistent. Yeah, completely consistent. And then it just stopped. Pretty wack.
You said you recorded it? You got it on audio?
Yeah, I have it on audio. I did record it.
Play it into the mic.
I don't think it'll come through the mic. I've got a stupidly directional mic, but I can post in the Facebook group.
Okay, yeah, post in the Facebook group. If you're listening to this and you're not part of the group, search Alien Theorist Theorizing on Facebook. Add yourself to the group, and Henry will post the alien sonar in the field. before we let you go, though, what do you think? Like, what comes to mind? Because there's a lot of mechanical sounds out there, like a lot of different, you know, a lot of different tractors and machines, but sonar is like at least the ones they portray is like that beep, like that really noticeable sound. So
yeah, and I think it. You know, I was trying to justify it by thinking, oh, maybe it's echoing from somewhere. But, like, I could very clearly tell what direction it was coming from. And it was loud enough that I thought it was, you know, no more than, like, maybe 200 meters away tops. Like, it was, like, just out of sight through the tree line. And that's what tripped me out the most. So I was trying to write it off as birds or some sort of machinery echoing through the valley. But I still can't really write it off. So if it's a bird, and you know your bird calls... That'll help me out a little.
There is some of those mocking. Some of the mockingbirds can be like, can sound like tons of stuff you would never expect. But I don't know, a steady interval sonar beep seems pretty mechanical. So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Wait, before we let you go.
Well,
we're playing tonight. What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box? So you know what to do. Clear your mind. Project your consciousness over here beside me. I'm not going to tell you what size of the box is. I might have changed up the box. But in this box, there's an item, and I want you to tell me what's inside the box.
What part of Canada are you in again?
Kelowna, BC.
Kelowna, BC.
Interior of British Columbia.
And it's nothing absolutely crazy.
I can't tell you. No hints at all. It could be anything.
No hints. Okay.
You got to visualize it. You got to remote view what's in this box.
Thinking right at you, Zell.
Think right at me. I'm opening up my mind. Don't look too deep, though. You might be scared what you find in there.
I'm going to go with getting... something edible, a fruit of some sort. That is my guess.
A fruit of some sort is incorrect. That is not what's inside the box.
No!
But good try. All right, thanks, Henry. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, have a good one.
Pleasure being on. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Yeah, weird interval beep, sonar sounding.
Strange.
I mean, there's lots of different types of machinery. I'm not sure exactly what they all are. Dan, can you hear this person before I can hear them?
I can hear the Skype call.
The Skype call? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going through here. Interesting, because I can't hear them.
But Dan, I can hear somebody on the line, yeah.
All right, well, someone's online. Let's bring them on. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Fuck you, I called.
Fuck you, you did. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Ross from Denver, Colorado.
From Denver. All right, Ross, what do you got for us?
I got a little UFO sighting for y'all.
Hell yeah. You're in the right spot.
Well, yeah, this happened about 2 years ago. It was September 9th, 2020 in Vail, Colorado. And what it was, you know, I went out for a cigarette. It was about 9:30 at night. Went out on my balcony and I just saw a flashing orb of sorts. It was just flashing green and blue right over the ridge. Super clear night. You know, and Vail is about 8,000 feet. So you can see stars and everything really well.
Right.
And this, I mean, you can see the Milky Way, everything. And this thing is just sitting right above the ridge on the horizon, just flashing crazy green, blue.
How big?
So I run inside. I grab my roommates because I was like, you know, it was probably about a mile away. So I'm saying, might have been the size of a car or a small boulder, you know, but it was big, you know, big enough that it was the brightest thing in the sky that night.
Right.
And the moon was out, planets were out, everything. So I run inside, I grab those guys. I'm like, holy shit, there's a fucking UFO out here. And who knows how long it was before I saw it, but I sat out there for at least 15 minutes seeing the thing. And it was completely stationary, but it was just bright, just flashing, strobing right above the ridge. Completely mobile, you know, didn't do any crazy fast movements or anything, but, you know, I don't think it was a drone or somebody flashing, but, you know, it was pretty out of the ordinary.
So how long were you viewing it for? Did it keep going until you went inside, or did you watch it until it was gone? Did it leave?
Oh, no, I watched it until it was gone. I wasn't going to let that thing, you know, just be like, okay, see you later. I'll go inside while this thing is doing its thing. You know,
did it just turn off? Did it just cease flashing and then just disappeared? Or, like, did it move up into the sky?
No, yeah, it just kind of flashed out of existence. Like I said, I was just going to watch it and see what it did. And just kept staying in the exact same spot. There was no movement. And then after the 15 minutes or so that I saw it, it just flashed and then it was gone. That was it.
So it's flashing, but you couldn't really identify. There's no like shape. It just looked like a circle, flashing circle. You couldn't tell like any like hard craft or anything.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like a saucer or anything. It was just what I would describe as an orb.
Just a nice...
I don't know if you guys have seen that documentary, the curse of the guy who sees UFOs or whatever, and he catches all these things on video. But it was a lot like that, if you're familiar.
What's the name of the documentary, sorry?
The Curse of the Guy Who Sees UFOs. It's pretty fascinating.
Oh, that's the title? I thought you were searching for the title, and that's just what you called it in your mind.
Oh, no, that is the title. Okay.
No, I don't think I've seen that one, actually.
Probably where was not. This again? What part of Colorado?
No, so I saw this in Vail, Colorado. He was based in San Diego coast and had a bunch of footage of...
No, I'm talking about your sighting. Where were you when you saw this? What part of Colorado you mentioned?
Oh, no, I was in Vail, Colorado.
Vail,
Colorado. So, like I said, it was about 8,000 feet. The skies were super clear. You can see all... I mean, you know, it's a kind of narrow valley, but you get really good...
No light pollution up there. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. Yeah, like, almost none.
Which direction were you facing?
Dan's on it.
So So this was the north-northwest.
North-northwest. So Vail, Colorado.
And it is a valley. So there's like, you know, there's a ridge up there, and there are hiking trails, like pretty much directly, what I would think are directly below where this would have been. And so I took, you know, a couple weeks after that, went up these trails to where approximately I thought where it would be, just to see if, you know, any activity would be up there, anything, but it's really just a small hiking trail. Nothing that I could tell that there would be anything. And yeah, when I brought my roommates out to, you know, just verify what I was seeing, yeah, they saw the same thing. It obviously wasn't a planet or a star. This thing was the brightest thing in the sky, except for the moon that night, and then just strobing green blue.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. Any type of strobing effect like that, like there's a lot of encounters where, like, yeah, it changed from white to blue to red to green to yellow and back, kind of like, you know, kaleidoscope style. It's kind of like spinning around.
Right. And I did happen to get a couple of videos of it, you know, albeit through my shitty Galaxy S7 phone or whatever. And unfortunately, they didn't get saved. But, and there wasn't really much to go off there because it's just cell phone footage. And all you just see is the flashing in the distance at, in the middle of the night, you know, 9:30 to 9:45 local time.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's usually with the UFO sightings. It's definitely a UFO. It's hard to, we can't identify what it is right off the bat. But usually the kind of rule of thumb, at least for us, usually is to kind of look for the five observables that they kind of talk about. A lot of UFO cases, like they pulled from like ATIP and Luis Elizondo and all them. But it's like, you just have this, well, from what you're describing, you just have this stationary light, which could be, I don't know, it could be a couple of different things. Like, could be plane flying straight at you. It could be a hovering UFO that's just sitting there. Blue and green. It could be a star or something. But
yeah, it wasn't definitely wasn't a star. Like I said, we have like some of the best, like, night sky views up there. And it was the brightest thing in the sky at the time. And the flashing, you know, it wasn't a plane. It didn't change direction or like magnitude of visibility or anything like that. It was,
so it couldn't have been like a clearly, Vail, Colorado is like that, your ski towns or anything in that area, like any kind of
it is a big ski town,
right? So like, could there have been some type of festival or event going on like in that area?
No, because this was on the other side of the valley.
Okay.
And like you said before, like there are some like hiking trails that go like right up into that area. There's like no homes or anything. But I went and investigated after the fact, and there's really no evidence or no like clear, like it wasn't a drone, it wasn't moving, it was just a stationary thing. And I don't know how long it was there before I saw it. I just stepped outside and looked up and happened to see it, so. But I had observed it for about 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a cool sighting. I mean, it's impossible to, I mean, anything that's stationary, it flashes, many people jump right to like atmospheric phenomena because it's not moving. But yeah, it could be something could be flying straight at you. It could be, yeah, who knows? It's a cool sighting nonetheless.
Yeah. I had two other eyewitnesses there, and we were all kind of just like, what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah, no, that'd be really cool to see.
It could be a planet, it could be something else, but you could see everything else in the sky. Like, super clear. There's no clouds in the sky that night at all. It wasn't hazy. It was very, very clear that it was just a strobing
something,
orb.
Something weird.
Above the ridge.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, brother. Hey, thanks for the call. We're going to keep the lines rolling, but yeah, that's a strange encounter. And if you see it again, make sure to call back and let us know.
Save it on your phone this time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and cheers, boys.
Cheers. Have a good night. Bye.
You too.
Yeah, we've heard those ones before. Like, it's like they change color. It's flashing, but doesn't seem to move or get closer or farther away. It's just like a weird, I don't know what that could be. Do they think ball lightning changes color?
I'm not sure.
Usually it's like just like a blue, blue.
I can hear the Skype call. We already got somebody on the phone. I'm like, right here.
Yeah, we do. Look, we got another caller. Let's bring him on. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Rapid fire.
Hey, this is Mason from Marshfield, Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin. Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Mason. Yeah. What do you got for us tonight?
A bit of a UFO story. It's a quick one. Back, I'd say around 2010, I lived with my mother, and I was just kind of playing outside, you know, doing my thing. And I looked over this hill. There's a cow pasture, and on top of this hill, I saw this kind of triangle-looking thing floating above the tree line. And it was all black. I could see kind of like a circle on the bottom. And on all three points, it had three lights. And they were purple and green. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know what that could have been. I was probably, you know, 13 at the time, but
a triangle, black triangle.
Yeah. So black triangle, it wasn't like, you know, perfect triangle because it was, you know, the way it was facing up on the hill, you could tell it was like, you know, facing the ground, and it was at an angle.
Was it banking? Like it was banking? Like it was.
No. So it wasn't moving. It was just like, it wasn't like a perfect triangle that you'd see, like just a normal triangle. You could tell it was like, it was turned, so it was like facing the ground. I looked at it, probably watched it for maybe a minute or two, and went inside to tell my mom so she could come look at it. And when we came back out, it was gone. And I
was it moving when you were,
never moved. No.
Weird.
Okay. Were the lights flashing or changing color today? Like, were they, you said they were purple and green?
And green, yeah. Okay. They never blinked. I can't remember if there was like two purple and one green or whatever. But yeah, I went and grabbed my mom and came outside, and it wasn't there. And we lived there, you know, a year or two afterwards too. I never saw it again, but I didn't know if I was just like maybe just imagining things or whatever. So I talked to my mom recently, and she said she remembers that, but she never saw it.
Weird. There's like, that's one of the more common UFOs, they say, like a black triangle, like a delta shaped craft, like swept wing.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly. It blew my mind later in life when I saw a picture of it. I'm like, oh my God, that's it. But yeah, so sorry I don't have more for you, but this was a while ago.
No, that's a fucking UFO encounter right there. You seen it, like black triangle. Could you tell like any type of like propulsion, like exhaust, or was it just kind of like seemed to be hovering and with no visible propulsion?
It was just hovering. It almost like someone drew it in the sky or something. It just, you could tell something was off with it. I mean, no noise, no nothing. And it looked like, it wasn't like it was miles away. It was maybe half a mile away. Then again, it could have been miles away and just really big. But, yeah.
Wild. Yeah, that's a good one. Stuck with you for your life,
too.
Yeah. No, that's great, man. But hey, before we let you go, I forgot to ask the last caller, but we're playing the game, What's Inside the Box? What's in the box?
All right. Okay. Send it to me.
All right. Projecting? You getting that?
All right.
It's almost cheating, though, if I project it right to you.
A harmonica.
A harmonica.
Good guess.
It's a good guess. I am inside a recording studio. I do own harmonicas.
Multiple harmonicas.
But it's not what's in the box.
But that's not what's inside the box.
Oh, all right. I'll let you guys go. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Take care.
See you later.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Was it T-34B? That's the...
That one that flew in space for like 300 days or whatever?
Was it the, no, was it the... No, I'm thinking about something else. What the name of that one? The triangle craft. There's a name for it. There's like a designation.
Yeah, there is like a triangle, like experimental craft they've been testing, right?
I can't remember.
But there was was it X-37B was the spacecraft that flew for like
300... Yeah, that was the unmanned
spacecraft for 300 days or something. It flew in low orbit or something.
Mm-hmm. The Boeing X-37 orbital test vehicle.
Didn't they never actually say why they were doing that?
I think some of it was classified, but then the stuff they could release, they said it was to test out like certain materials, like the stresses thermal. And the durability of different materials while in space. That's kind of the idea.
They're looking for aliens. Come on, Dan.
We're getting our space fleet ready. We're getting our fucking
secret space fleet. Call Corey Good and the boys, Solar Warden. Take our fleet to Mars, where there's, I think, what do they say, like 100,000 person encampment.
Fight the praying mantis aliens and.
What did Linda Moulton Howe call them at AlienCon?
The Ebens? No, Ebens.
No, the Ebens are Weekly World News. No.
No, she says Ebens.
Ebens?
Extraterrestrial biological entities or something.
No, she had names. There was like an insect one. She calls them.
Oh, I forgot.
Anyways, I remember she was like going into great detail. Like, holy shit. And then she never returned my email to come on the show.
God, come on, damn it, Linda Moulton Howe.
All right, we're looking for callers. 1-833.
Linda Moulton Howe, if you're out there, call in.
70. Someone get a hold of Linda Moulton Howe and tell us where the aliens are.
She was on Skinwalker Ranch. She should come on our fucking show. She could be on Skinwalker Ranch.
All right, we got a call coming in right now. Let's bring him on the line. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, we're doing well. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Marty, calling from Ottawa, Canada.
From Ottawa. All right, Canadian boy. Here we go.
Ottawa.
Yeah. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing well. We're looking for your wildest, craziest story you got for us.
I don't really have a story, but I have a little bit of a topic to talk about.
Sure. Topic.
So I recently just got a new job, all right? And I got a job as a utility locator, so looking for like the power lines under the ground, gas lines under the ground and whatnot. And there's this old guy in this job, and he was doing witching. Have you guys ever heard of witching or like dowsing?
Yeah, heard of it.
Yeah, looking for water?
Could be other things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, water and stuff like that.
Yeah, isn't that when they have like the sticks?
And how do you guys think? Yeah,
the two little,
that's
like
crazy. Do you guys have any idea how that possibly could work? Because I went on like a deep dive afterwards on YouTube and whatnot and watching people doing that kind of stuff. And I thought it was crazy. There's not really like a scientific proof on like how it works and whatnot.
There's not, but I've seen firsthand someone did that and they said, water's here. And then, because we were building a house like out on this ranch, like outside of town, there's no water. So you have to go well. So we had a guy, he came in, he did that. He's like, yeah, like right about here, like plus or minus 5 feet, he said. So we're like, okay, sure, buddy. And then we brought in like the actual like engineer with the gun. He like radars through. He's like, yeah, there's a cavern here. Like should be water. Like I would dig here. And sure enough, right there. Like the guy fucking knew. Somehow he knew there's water down there. And he even set the depth. He's like 25 feet.
Was he using the metal rods?
I don't know. He had two rods. That was a while ago, so I don't remember exactly what composition they were. But
yeah, they usually use the two little rods. I seen the one video of the guy. There's a video from the Ukraine war just now, and there's a guy dowsing for water in like a trench, and he was using like the two little metal rods or whatever.
And somehow like the water underneath the surface like creates some type of field, and it says it pulls the rods across, and when they cross, he's like, yeah, water's right there. And sure enough, he was like not far off, man.
But then I also saw some videos on YouTube of people doing it with wood. with a special kind of wood in the shape of a Y, and it's like pointing upwards, and then they can also shoot it right down and point directly to where the water is.
Yeah, I remember that from the old Looney Tune cartoons. I remember them using the wooden sticks, like the shape of a Y. That's been around forever.
Wild. All right, that's all I wanted to say. I thought it was pretty cool.
It is a really cool, like, people can, that's like, interesting, it's not like a scientifically proven skill, but yet it somehow it works and people find these wells, and sure enough, you drill down, they're like, yeah, about 25 feet down, and then boom, they drill down and you got water for a whole farm.
It could be interesting. It could be some type of like, off the top of my head, it could be some kind of subconscious thing that people have. Some people just have the experience of just finding these places, or you have an experience looking for these wells. They take the dowsing sticks, and then just subconsciously, like, they see kind of signs all around them that the water is here. Should physical signs, actual things, and then they just kind of like cross them, maybe. That's what comes to my mind.
Like, they kind of they're walking in, they see like the grass has changed.
Yeah, and they kind of
something.
Focus on it, like, just, you know, subconsciously focus on an area where they're like, yeah, this probably would be water right here, it's a good chance. And then they just, you know, rattle it off. They just have the experience of doing that, and it's just kind of being like, yeah, it's probably about here. I don't know.
Yeah,
it could be some kind of skill like that.
That's a really cool, it's almost like a remote viewing, which is about what we're going to ask you right now. What's inside the box?
Oh, yeah. What's in the box, eh?
What's in the fucking box?
What's in the box, eh?
What's in the box?
It's a good old Canadian boy right there.
What color's the box?
No, I can't tell you anything about the box. There's no hints. You got to project your consciousness to Kelowna, BC, into Meteor Sound Studio.
All right.
And look inside the box.
Inside of the box, I think it's some type of seed.
Seed?
Or a plant.
Seed?
Plant seeds.
Nope. Not what's in the box.
Yeah. Dang.
But hey, a guess is a guess.
All right. I tried. All right. Well, thanks, boys.
All right, brother.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dowsing is an interesting thing. We're probably gonna end up talking a little bit about it tomorrow. Ooh, phone call. It's just rolling in.
They are lined up. Let's bring them on the line here. Let's answer this thing real quick here. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
How's it going today?
Hey, we're doing pretty well, brother. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Rob from Grand Prairie.
Well, another Canadian boy. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. There's quite a few stories, so I don't really know where to start.
Let's pick for
UFO or paranormal. Just pick
one you got the best memory of, and we're trying to limit to one story per caller per night. But so it's up to you.
Absolutely. I'll go with a random UFO sighting I've seen. Coming home with my mom, we were out shopping, and we come around the corner to our house, and we've seen this black orb shape kind of disappear in the distance across the trees. And this is about 1999, 2000. And at that young age, I was pretty petrified of being abducted by aliens in my head yet. Anyways, my mom knew I was scared. She'd seen it. So she tried to comfort me by going to Zellers and buying one of those helium-filled UFO thermal controls to try and justify the fact that that's what it was. This object that she had bought was really small, and I know in the distance that object was massive compared to what this little toy would be.
Right.
So black orb, floating in the distance, like speed wise, you got a estimate on how fast it was going?
I wouldn't have a good estimate of how fast it was going. If I was to take a guess, it'd be about 100 kilometers an hour, but it disappeared kind of behind the houses and trees that we were living in the neighborhood.
Right.
And when we both seen it, I looked at my mom, she looked at me, and I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, it was very unexplainable. Like, it's nothing. It was in the middle of Calgary.
And was it traveling, like, which direction was it traveling in relation to you? Parallel or, like, perpendicular?
It was going crossways from us. So we were facing north and it was going east.
Okay. All right. And then so it just kind of like, so you like, you just noticed it coming down and it kind of just went down behind out of your line of sight, like out of there.
it was at like tree line height, and it would have been, if it was closer to us, it would have like grazed the trees, but in the distance obviously it was high enough to go across and not obviously graze them.
Interesting. Yeah, fuck, I don't know. That's stumped me. What do you think? What came to your mind?
Obviously, UFO.
Some type of ET craft?
An ET craft, yeah. In my young age mind, that's what it was. Today, I still believe the same thing, because I can't explain it.
Yeah, I mean, black orb, and obviously no sound, going about 100K, but it's hard to judge distance, or judge speed at distance, so...
Yeah.
Could have been going much slower or much faster if it was much farther away, right? So,
yeah. Shit. Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much how I thought.
Yeah, that's a great UFO right there. Stuck with you too. Like you keep coming back to it.
Yeah. Was it like a solid black orb? Was it reflecting light? I just question. Sorry. Was it reflecting light off of it? Like, how could you tell? Was it orb and not like a disc?
Just by the shape of it, like the disc, if it was a disc, it would have been more of like a plate shape flying across the sky. This was more of like a ball floating across the sky.
So it was reflecting, like light was reflecting off of it, like as it was moving. So you could tell, like.
I honestly couldn't really see any light reflection off it. I just could tell that it was a black orb, and it was such a quick glance at it. It was just going behind the tree and over the house kind of deal, right? It disappeared before actually looking at
it. Is it possible it could have been a saucer on edge, like banking, and it looked like an orb?
I can't say it wouldn't be. I mean, that's a logical explanation, but I can't see it. To me, it was a ball.
Right. Well, either way, it's an ET craft, in my opinion. It's either an ET orb or an ET saucer banking.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I'm always hear these calls, and I'm always so jealous because I've never seen anything that I couldn't explain.
Yeah. I mean, I've got more stories along the same lines of UFOs if you want more, but...
Make sure to call back on the next Cosmic Channels if you got more, because, yeah, absolutely. If you've seen one, you've seen two, we want to hear them.
Yep. I'll call back on another time. It's an experience with mushrooms. So.
Hey, well, I like to hear those ones as well. Before we let you go, though, I want you to take a guess of what's inside the box.
Not a guess.
It's
a remote. It's a remote
inside
viewing.
The box?
I want you to... Yes, correct, Dan. I don't want you to guess. I don't want you to just guess anything. I want you to picture what's in the box and come say the first thing that comes into your mind. You might be a remote viewer.
Is it multiple choice?
No, it is not.
What?
What's in the box?
Make sure to clear your mind first.
13-inch shit. Then.
What'd you say?
Mr. Conspiracy, 13-inch shit.
13-inch misconspiracy shit. That'd be just absolutely disgusting. And I wouldn't be surprised if he tried to punk me with that. He is in town at the moment, but that is not what's inside the box.
I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call. Make sure to call back another time.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye. And Team Canada is showing up today.
Yeah.
We don't got a lot of Canadian callers, even though this is a show based in Canada. Goddamn, America's too big. You know, there's too many people down there. Okay, you want to take a bet if this is a Canadian or American caller, Dan?
This one's going to be American.
Because it's going to be another Canadian. Here we go. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Hey, what up? This is Kyle from Cincinnati.
Oh, Dan's right. Fuck. All right, Kyle, how's it going, brother?
Not too bad. So I had a real quick story, UFO story.
All right.
I don't know if you know much about Cincinnati, but we're only about 50 minutes south of Wright-Patterson.
Okay.
Sure. My buddy and I were, we had just ate an edible.
Fair.
And all of a sudden, within like 10 minutes, his dad comes running in. And he's real straight and narrow. I'm assuming he didn't eat an edible, too. He's like, hey, there's something in the sky. You guys got to come out and see it right now. So we run out there. Edibles start kicking in. Red glowing orbs sinking like from the sky.
Oh shit.
They don't just like sink, they like stop and move. I don't know, I want to say like 50, 60 yards to the right. And then they start slowly sinking down again and they move back over to the left. 60, 70 yards, same thing. So my buddy and I are just sitting there and we're like, dude, we're just stoned as shit. We don't know what is going on right now. But his dad, who I've grown up with since I was in fifth grade, at this point in time, it's about 10 years, he's not tripping balls. So he's freaking out. We're all freaking out. Finally, they disappear in the night. But they head north. They don't just sink down and like fizzle out. They straight up take off and dip out. So we start freaking out, thinking that we're just super stoned. Here to come find out, the next day, all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, we had people that were skydiving in, and they had flares.
Oh, come on.
And that's all you saw. I'm like, I have never in my life seen a flare that can straight up just dig 50 feet or 50 yards and then zag 50 yards. But a friend of mine who lives up in Dayton, well, my uncle, who is, I don't want to say he has top secret clearance, but he has a lot more clearance than what I've ever known about. He told me that they were testing a specific jet kind of drone, a UAV of sorts at night in that area. But the newspapers and all the news channels around here said it was someone flying in on, or not flying in, but I guess parachuting in, skydiving with flares on.
I didn't even know people parachuted or skydived at night. Seems pretty dangerous.
I've seen that a couple times, the skydiving with flares, at least the you know, people seeing strange things or seeing what a lot of people calling in with UFO reports, and then at least one or two explanations I've seen. I think it's happened in at least somewhere in one of the Carolinas is the last time I heard about it. I might have heard about this one too. But I know that's an explanation that is put forward before. That, I mean, it's been verified in other cases, not this one, but I have heard of that before.
Skydiving at night with flare?
Yeah.
Seems like a fucking terrible thing.
Or at least like dropping flares, like at least aircraft dropping flares. And
it sounds like a terrible idea.
It does.
But I believed him at first. I was like, oh, mom, shit. And at the time, I didn't know that my uncle worked at Wright Pack. But then he said they were testing aircrafts. He can't really tell me much. And by tell me much, I mean he can tell me very, very, very little. But he said that they were testing that night. And I was like, cool. If they were testing, why wouldn't they just be like, oh, no, they were testing new planes or drones? Drones were a new thing at this point in time, though, because this was back in, like, 2000 and I want to say 11, maybe 12. So drones weren't much of a thing. But it was kept entirely hush-hush. The news media around us said it was flares, which, like I said, there's no way a flare bounces back and forth like that.
Are they bouncing like up and down or like side to side?
Side to side.
Zigzagging? Well, if we're going to go, say we went the skydiving route, just say hypothetical, and those skydivers zip around the sky like fucking no other, man. If it was that. I'm not saying it is. But like if you're going down, especially if they have one in those like wingsuits or something, you can rip around the sky pretty good. But
Mace or Dan would know all the answers.
I'm just pulling up videos now of like skydiving with flares, and they some of these are pretty interesting. Like watching people skydive with some of these flares on. I don't know. They got the setups that they have are ridiculous because it's like a whole bunch of like Roman candles like strapped to your ankles and you're like diving off. Seems a little bit too crazy for me. That's the things like that I want to do.
Yeah, but, canvas. Yeah, on a parachute, just shooting fucking Roman candles at it.
Just fucking nuts.
I guess they'd have to be done by the time you pulled your chute, but it seems risky.
Well, how I mean, down though, I would have assumed they were already deployed their chutes. But the way it went vertically, horizontally, left and right, it was so quick. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird one.
Stayed parallel. Like, it wasn't like you could see a significant drop in height and then back the other way. I mean, it was damn near parallel. So it's not really a UFO story per se.
I mean, it is UFO. You don't know what it is.
I don't, but I know for a fact that somebody does. He's just not.
He's not spilling the beans.
No. No, he refuses.
Tell him to call in. I'll change his voice. We'll make sure no one can identify him.
I'll definitely ask him.
He can call through a VPN, make sure to like change his IP address, get him out of the country. We'll do what it takes.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because I would love to hear some of the stories he has. I mean, he's, like I said, he won't tell me much, and it sucks.
Just want to know so bad.
Yeah, exactly. I would. Dude, just give me like a little something, because I mean, you guys know Wright Pat was where Area 51, all that wreck shit out there got taken to Wright Pat.
Yeah.
And the company I worked for, we actually had a contract with Wright Pat to do all their fiber lines. But they would not let us in to take measurements and get an idea of what it was going to cost. They're like, no, we'll send you GPS coordinates. But they would not let us in there. And the people that they had selected to do it, we had to go through all kinds of background checks.
So did they let you in the end, though? They let you in?
No, they wouldn't give us a contract.
So Wright Patterson's got shit internet is what you're saying. They don't got the fiber optic.
They might not now, but at the time, they definitely did. Because we were going to run fiber lines.
Oh yeah, the best.
They said it was the military bases, but why would they not let us into the military bases? Like, if it's just where people are staying, we shouldn't have any issues. But they actually sent us pretty much Google Maps and drew little lines on it. Like, oh, this is 500 feet. This is 400 feet. We need them directed from here to here to here. But they would not let anyone on that base to go into these buildings.
Well, some of the buildings are not necessarily military. Like, at least from what I was, when we did our case file on Wright-Patterson, I was reading about, like, some of the buildings are actually, like, military contractors. Like, they're actually civilian contractors. And so, like in some of those buildings, are there, like, partnerships with, like, universities or something? And they have a lot of proprietary stuff in there. So there's kind of, like, they don't want people to kind of go in and, you know, mess with their junk. Especially like some of those places, it's just, yeah, I would assume it'd be as difficult for them trying to get this stuff done or get an estimate on trying to get shit. It must make it a headache forever, whoever had to set it up, I imagine.
Yeah, we want internet, but we can't get it because we can't trust anyone.
Exactly, yeah. What's here.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, all we had to do was run some PVC and then pull fiber lines, which, I mean, we're an electrical contractor, but we do a lot of that stuff. But just getting clearance, and ironically enough, my uncle, he works in the drone development program. But they would not, and I asked him about it, it's like, you know, they wouldn't even let us on site to measure. He's like, no, they don't let anyone on site. Like, we couldn't send our estimator out there unless he went through
some major checks.
Background checks.
Yeah. Yeah, because some of the stuff is like need to know, but it's also, again, like I said, like the civilian contractors aren't necessarily. It's not that it's classified; it's that it's proprietary. It's like you can't go in there. It's like private stuff, and they have their own security. Like it's one of those kinds of deals, and I'm sure it's just like, yeah. Again, I'm sure it just makes it a logistical nightmare trying to get anything kind of done with there.
That's
to, like, if you have to bring in outside people, it must be just a pain in the butt.
No, that, which is
Northrop Grumman, yeah.
Yeah, they're up there. They're real big in that area. They run a lot of stuff here. And they have...
Is it Cincinnati or Cleveland where the... Where's the... That's where they do a lot of Abrams tanks stuff. That's Ohio,
maybe. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, they do, well, GE's in Cincinnati.
Okay.
So there's aircraft carrier engines, a lot of the jet engines. Most of that stuff's developed about 25 minutes northeast of me.
Right, because like Cincinnati and all those areas, like there's all a big military industrial complex, right? There's all a bunch of like most of the jobs are at like construction, like military vehicle production factories and things, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of them around here. There's a, well, I can't verify, but I've seen aerial footage from a buddy of mine who's a drone. He does drone pilot stuff. And there's a, I keep wanting to say S7, and I know that's from Transformers, and that is not the name. That's what I've always called it.
Right.
They develop the GPS microchips for missiles. And there's a missile silo underneath there. So if you can pull up the GPS, like if I could find this stuff, I need to get in and send it to me, and I'll forward it. But you can see where the parking lot, you can clearly see the lines of where it's a missile silo. Because it's a perfect pentagon. And then you can see the lines across the parking lot where all the cars park.
I think that's the funny thing about a lot of parts of the U.S. is people don't realize how close they are to like missile silos, either decommissioned or actual active missile silos. Because even here, like in Virginia, there's a bunch. Like there's a bunch kind of laid out across like Northern Virginia, around Washington, D.C. and stuff. But people have no idea that they're there. It's kind of funny.
They're almost like overgrown or something.
No, like it's just like nobody goes there. Like it's on federal land or something. And it's just like, but they're relatively close to just like heavily populated areas. And you're just like, nobody ever knew. There's like, oh, there's like four missile silos sitting over here in like Reston or something. Like
no, it's just it's got weird. A couple nukes over here. No big deal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's why during the Cold War, Cincinnati, which isn't, I mean, we're a bigger city for Ohio, but we're not that big of a city, but we were a huge target during the Cold War because of GE.
Yeah, all of your, like any of those where we manufactured most of our armaments and things like that, like all of like Ohio and those areas are all since the 1940s, like 30s, like they've been like huge, huge parts of the military industrial complex. Like I said, it's just like that's where we build everything. Ohio, like Ohio's economy is like half of it is like military contractors.
Pretty much. Other than that, there's not much. We got breweries.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We can get on board with that.
Which, no, dude, if you guys ever want to take the most boring pod trip, it's not a good
place. I'll keep that in mind.
But you would be drunk as shit. I mean, I guess that's a plus.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, yeah, it's not completely boring then, yeah.
We'd have fun wherever we go. It's all good.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Well, you guys are always welcome here, of course. But as always, I appreciate you guys letting me call in.
Hell yeah, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Good call, man.
Enjoy your guys' night. And if you get some time, research GPS. It's who makes the GPS systems for the missiles.
Will do. Hey, before we let you go, you know what you got to do.
Guess what's in the box?
In the box.
Honestly, right when I called, I was thinking about this. And the only thing I could think of was Braden's house after he grilled out. But I'm still going to go with a pick. Always going to go with a pick.
A pick?
Pick?
Like guitar pick. Guitar pick?
Ice pick?
You know what? Let's go with ice pick. You have a random ice pick in a box in your studio.
I could have one. But tonight, I do not have that in the box. That's not what's in the box.
Hey, you guys have a good night.
All right, man. You too. Bye. Yeah, Ohio, eh? Fucking just military contracts and breweries, it sounds like.
Yeah, because there's a big deal a while ago about them like shutting down some factories, and they're like, they can't. It's like, it's where we make the tanks.
We need the fucking tanks. All right, we got time for one call, maybe two more calls. We're going to take one more right here. Hello, Cosmic Channels.
Let me tell you something, brother. What's up, Val?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hi, Dan.
What's up?
This is the Burmeister.
I thought it sounded familiar. It came a little crackly at first, so I wasn't too sure. What's cracking,
oh, am
brother?
Am I still crackly or am I good?
No, you're good. It's probably on my end. Oh, yeah. Wisconsin, the hellhole, I heard.
It's very possible.
You guys got fiber optic internet there or what?
I'm on the AOL dial-up right now.
Okay. Yeah, it's still living in the past. I gotcha.
Yes, I was just calling. I know that Braden read my story like a long time ago on one of the actual case files, but I figured I'd call in and tell it on Cosmic Channel because I don't think I ever did.
All
about
right.
the beast that we witnessed. I don't know if you remember that story.
I'm sure it'll come back to me as you start telling it.
Sounds good. So we were coming back from Green Bay, Wisconsin. My band was recording in a studio up there, and it was like super early in the morning. We were up really late, just mastering the album. Driving back towards, it's not Teresa, it's called Teresa to anyone who lives there, but Teresa to anyone who's not from there. That's my hometown in Wisconsin, really small hometown. And we were coming around this bend on the main highway, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's maybe like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and the sun's just coming up, and we see this creature or something just running full speed on the right of the highway. And it's one of those single lane highways. It's like an interstate, I guess. Yeah, 175, I think is what it was called. And we see this thing just running. We all three of us just kind of see it at the same time, but we don't realize we all see it at the same time. And it's running super fast. And I don't even slow down or hit the brakes. And the thing runs in front of us and runs across the highway. Like, without me even reacting, just because we were kind of still in shock about, like, what we were seeing. Because it kind of looked like, I mean, it kind of looked like man-bear pig, but it was more of, like, the face of the wolf with the body of a bear. And just the way that it ran, like, you know, as fast as, like, a cheetah or, like, a puma. Like, you know, because we didn't slow down at all. We're going, like, 65. And I know it was super early in the morning, and I thought I was hallucinating at first until my drummer, I was like, did I just witness that? Like, did you guys see that? And they're all just like jaw dropped. Like, yeah, what was that? And I was like, I have no idea. I mean, it wasn't a bobcat. It wasn't a wolf. You know, it was just this dark black hair. And my drummer at the time was like, it was a succubus or a beast of some kind. You know, he was like, it was a demon. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm glad I wasn't the only one who saw it. But it just ran across the road. We didn't stop. We just kept driving, just puzzled and perplexed. And I remember describing to Braden in the story, it was like when you almost get in a car accident, you slam on your brakes, or you do get in a car accident, and, like, everything from your feet up just, like, slowly numbs and you can't move. Like, that's what it felt like when we saw it. And I was hoping to talk to you guys about it in Austin, but I completely forgot because we were drinking, so...
That will happen.
But it was pretty nuts, man. And then later on, there was like this whole DNR report too, which I sent Braden, of some guy that was picking up deer on the side of the road, and something grabbed the deer out of the back of his car and like ran off. And he described it as the same description that we saw. And if you Google like beast of Brer Road, that's like an hour away. It's like, I think it's 80 miles away from our town, but a lot of in that time frame, it's like in like 2002, 2003, like a lot of people were seeing it back then, but you know, internet wasn't as prevalent. So you couldn't go on Reddit and just talk about it, or, you know, you couldn't go on your next door app and talk about it in your city with your, you know, your neighbors. So I sent Braden that DNR report back then too, when I sent him that story. And a lot of other people said they saw the same type of beast, like bear body with like a wolf head. And it was like super creepy, man.
Dude, we've talked about it before, like a dog man, kind of like a werewolf.
Dogman's big in the Northwest or Midwest too.
Midwest,
Wisconsin, Michigan. You know? Dogman's pretty big.
Well, when we talked about it, it was Michigan dogman, but like that style, like the wolf head, but a bear body. So like, if you ever seen a bear upright, it looks like a jacked person. Like, You know, like, yeah. they're fucking built like a bear.
I know. Bears can truck. I mean, like, bears can run fast.
Bears,
like,
are quick.
When they want to go somewhere, they can fucking truck. But, yeah, running about, like, 55 miles per hour and then cutting out in front of you is, that's a little bit strange.
That's fast for a bear.
We don't normally have bears in Wisconsin either. Like, they're more up north, so we don't normally have them there. There was a bunch of farmers. I remember my dad saying that a bunch of his farmer friends were reporting that livestock were getting, like, attacked, and it looked like big cat attacks, which I mean, the wolf-bear thing isn't, like, a big cat, so... That was weird, but they had to put a few, like, I think they had to put, like, a couple horses down and, like, a couple cattle because something was attacking them from behind and it looked like big cat attack, they said. It was around the same time.
Dog so, man.
Like, it was just weird. You know?
Dog cat man.
Dog cat man.
It wasn't those ghost chickens. Those ghost chickens from Wisconsin that Brandon found. But,
yeah. It's cat dog
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I figured I'd share it on Cosmic Channel because I know Brandon read that a long time ago, but
no,
I don't think Cosmic Channel audience heard it.
We've definitely talked about stuff that, like, other encounters that seem like a very similar thing, like the Dogman, like kind of like a werewolf.
You're talking about Dogman. I don't know if we've done Beast of Berry Road. I know.
We mentioned it in the Dogman episode, I believe.
I think he was in our crypto.
I think you did. Yeah, you crypto mentioned it. Didn't too. Into much detail.
We had him on Crypto Crush-a-thon, I'm pretty sure.
Beast of Berry Road?
Yeah, I think he was on the lineup.
How did he do?
I can't remember. I think he won. I think he fought the giant turtle guy.
Oh, I think the turtle won that one. I think he slammed him from the fucking top of the ladder through the chair, through the table. Anyways, well, maybe we'll have to have a rematch because it's been a while. Or maybe I should go re-listen to that old episode.
Yeah, you should do a rematch of that. That was fun. I forgot all about that.
The Crush-a-thon. We still have not yet claimed the overall universal champion of the Crush-a-thon.
It's true.
Sorry. All right, I think Dan's dad should win it just because he was there.
He was there.
He was there.
And he confirmed that Jesse Ventura was not a true Navy SEAL.
Yes.
He was almost there, but he wasn't a full-on Navy SEAL. Right, Burmeister, before we let you go, what's in the fucking box?
Yeah, it's pretty gross, but I'm going to say it's one of Nova's poopy diapers.
A poopy diaper.
Poopy diaper.
I couldn't get enough of my daughter's poopy diapers, so I brought one into the studio and put it in a hot, disgusting box right beside me all podcast long.
Yeah. Brayden told us you get pissed on quite a bit when you're changing diapers, so we heard that in the last case file after hours.
I get peed on every day, every single day. It's like she knows as soon as I open
now
the diaper,
bang! Now you know how they...
Nails me. No, that's not what's in the fucking box, Burmeister! You know better than that. You had it in your mind. You fucked it up.
Have it in my mind. Was it a ghost chicken?
I know you had it. You wanted to make a joke, and you ruined your guess. You could have been the man who wins it. Who wins what's in the box?
Okay, taking it all.
All right,
Burmeister. Thanks for the call. We always appreciate it.
Right. I'll see you guys. Have a good one.
All right, bye. And just like that, Cosmic Channels is over.
That's fast.
That was a fast hour. People are just lining
just like
up to
rapid
call.
Rapid fire calls. Boom, 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 boom.
There was a 20-second wait on one call, and the rest was amazing.
Fantastic.
Oh, we got a lot of UFO stories today. We're fucking maybe some dogmen. A lot of the orbs. Like, I don't know, it was a good one. A lot of unexplained sightings. I mean, I wish we had the answers and could tell you exactly what they are, but we do not. So at the end of the show, we just say they're probably all aliens. And that's all you got to think about.
Yep. Ohio isn't completely populated by aliens.
And drunk people, because it's breweries drunk and military aliens. Contractors.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
If you're from Ohio, you're an alien.
Boom. And if you're wondering what was in the box, it is just a regular old hose attachment gun, like a fucking garden gun for your hose. That's it. So if that was in your mind and you wanted to call in and let us know, maybe you are a remote viewer. And you know the drill. Every second and fourth Sunday of the month, Cosmic Channels rolls 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. So the next one, if you're listening to this right now, be June 26th, 2022, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Same cosmic time, same cosmic place. Cosmic Channels is brought to you by Big Theory Productions. The Cosmic Channels
are now closed.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.